We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the mayor of PHNX. This guy is the Thunderstick, Jesse Friedman, occasionally known as the vice mayor of PHNX. This show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Unfortunately, we have a very sad news, I guess, this morning. We were informed by the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're heartbroken to learn of the passing of Nicole Hazen at the age of 45 due to complications related to glioblastoma, a rare form of cancer. It's something that we've known through Mike Hazen talking about it, about his wife and what they've been going through, that she has been, you know, battling this with for a long time. And
yeah,
it's a sad day.
It is a sad day. Yeah, it's been a few years now, and I am no medical expert, but it's a pretty rare form of cancer from what I know. So it was really sad to hear about the diagnosis a couple years back. I honestly can't imagine what this is like for Mike Hazen right now. Yeah. I mean, the MLB trade deadline was like 2 days ago. I mean, it's crazy. It was literally about 48 hours ago. And I can't imagine what it must be like for him to go from, you know, the nonstop go, go, go mentality of hopping off of one phone call and onto another phone call that comes with the trade deadline. And then, you know, suddenly having your wife pass 2 days later. I don't know how sudden this was. We don't know a whole lot of information, nor do we really need to. But I just can't imagine what this is like for him and his family.
I feel selfish thinking of anything to do with myself, but you know, my wife is and I are both very close to Nicole's age, and the thought of losing my wife is devastating to me, right? So
yeah,
Mike and their four sons, you know, she's survived by her husband and her four sons, and it's just unfortunate, and our heart goes out to Mike Hazen, because it's not easy to continue working and doing a job like this that is very demanding when you have something that means so much more than a game going on in life.
Yeah. I'm honestly amazed that he didn't take a step back for the trade deadline. And again, we don't know exactly the details here, but I know when the diagnosis officially came out a few years ago, he sort of took some time away from the team and spent some time with family then. But yeah, you know, I hope he was able to really be present as much as possible in these last few moments. So yeah, heart goes out to the Hazen family, and just horrible news today. And then, of course, Vin Scully yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just a crappy couple of days Derek.
It's a bad week for baseball, for the baseball community. We mourn the loss of Vin Scully this week, the voice of baseball. For most people, Vin Scully has been around longer, obviously, than most of us, but like almost longer than the game itself, it feels like. I mean, I read a fact the other day. I think there's been It's incredible the amount of like sitting presidents there's been in Vince Scully's time as a broadcaster. And
yeah, you know, like what was the world like when Vince Scully broadcasted his first game?
Queen of England, like, wasn't even the Queen of England at the time. It wasn't even, you know, like it's wild. So this guy's been around for a long time. He's just been such a special part of the game. It's not a surprise, but Vince Scully always seems so full of life that no matter how old he got, he never seemed to really age. He's just always been Vince Scully. Seeing him in the press box in his powder blue suit, you know, and just being so kind and so gracious to everybody that comes up to meet him. He was a rare celebrity in an area that nobody really is a celebrity. Everybody's kind of equals, but Vince Scully was still in the press box, just something that most of us were in awe of when we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were in Vince Scully's shoes, Derek, no offense, but like if you were, you know, a world-class broadcaster for 50 years, you might be a little bit more full of yourself than Vince Scully was. Not a knock on you necessarily. And I think honestly, all of us would.
Way to turn this tender moment into an attack on me, Jesse Friedman.
But I think that's just what's so incredible about him is that he was like this timeless legend, right? And yet he just didn't really show that. And from what I never got to meet Vince Scully, but from what I've heard from people who have met him, you know, he's just very down to earth and would treat every single person the same. And like if I were in his shoes, I feel like it'd be hard not to have a pretty big head at a certain point if you're renowned to that degree in the broadcasting world.
It's the whole thing of you don't want to meet your heroes. And the reason why is because your heroes are usually a distance away. So you don't typically get to meet them, right? Unless your heroes are your father or somebody in your family or something like that. But if you kind of, you know, idolize a famous person, you don't typically get to meet them. And if you do, you know, you can only hope that meeting goes well where it doesn't change your opinion.
Sure. Them, right? It is disappointing if you really look up to someone and then you meet them and they're like kind of a jerk or like don't really notice you. And no, it's like, they're not as cool as I thought they were.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and Vince Scully, no matter how big he was, he just had a different aura about him and he was just so easy to talk to. I will say from my perspective, I have weird like ups and downs because younger players don't have that effect on me, but every once in a while when I'm around somebody like an Albert Pujols or someone like that, I am still kind of starstruck a bit.
Starstruck.
Yeah, I mean, these are guys that when I, you know, was young and their careers have been along, you know, around as long as my love of baseball has been around for some of them, right? So you still come across those kind of people, but I remember meeting Vin and I tried to, you know, be very... like,
so I don't know this story. So Vin, did he come in the press box?
Yeah, he'd come eat in the press lounge. He would just sit right there in the press lounge. And like it people tried not to like gawk at him like he was an exhibit in the zoo, right? But you couldn't help but like, oh my God, it's Vin Scully. And you're like, well, of course the Dodgers are in town, but you know, I didn't expect to see, you know, it's like everything about being at Chase Field feels like a big deal when the Dodgers are in town, including Vin being in, you know, the press lounge and eating with the rest of us normies. You know what I mean? Just down to earth. But he also just had an incredible way of calling the game, something that few baseball announcers have. And I think that many baseball announcers emulate his style, right? I think the classic style of play-by-play man telling a story while he's also calling the game, you know, doing the kind of slipping in the strike two, that's 1-2 count in between and his stories was kind of his style.
It's like the real show is the story and the game is sort of like it like diverts to the background for a period of time. Yeah. Of course, if the game, like, you know, there's something big happening, that I'll sort of switch gears. But
baseball, especially if, like, you know, nothing really exciting is going on, baseball can get into a bit of a boring stretch over a couple of middle innings and such. And he was just a master at when those stories started coming out. It was like, oh, he's telling a story. Like, it's like all of a sudden the game didn't matter, right? Like, I have friends that are much bigger, you know, fans of him because they were Dodgers fans and grew up in LA and listened to him and everything
Just know more.
Yeah, I mean, they tell me stuff about, you know, listening to him and just what a what a part of their childhood it is that they feel is gone and lost now. And I mean, again, he's an absolute living legend when he was here, and we absolutely wish him rest in peace, Vin Scully. We will miss you. You were one of a kind. And I do have a clip of Vin Scully telling a story about Madison Bumgarner. That's one of my favorite things that I've ever heard.
I don't think I know this. I'm excited to hear it.
Let's take a listen to that clip.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. 1-1 pitch, sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch, low, ball three, 3-1. When his wife Allie and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball four. And after she extracted them a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive. Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit to center by Hendrick, and the Dodgers are in business, first and second and nobody out. So I guess really the morale to the whole story about the rabbit and the snake, you've got to somehow survive, you've got to somehow battle back. A lesson well taught for all of us.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. It has a moral and everything. Like, there's a takeaway.
It's like an Aesop's fable. It's incredible. Oh, my God. That man was one of a kind. Absolutely. And I feel differently about Madison Bumgarner after that story, right?
Yeah.
To think of Madison Bumgarner nursing back a baby bunny to health. Bottle feeding it. That's
a beautiful story.
It's a kinder side of him I wasn't expecting to think about today.
It doesn't really matter how Madison Bumgarner pitches in some ways, because he saved this baby rabbit. And that's all that matters.
And
the moral is
no matter how many home runs you give up in the first inning, you got to battle back.
There you go.
You got to stick around. And that's something that maybe made Madison Bumgarner's season a little bit better. But again, we will miss you, Vin Scully. We absolutely will miss you. And by the way, if you haven't done so already, Jesse is doing some fantastic writing. You have any new pieces over at GoPHNX?
We have a new one coming today, and should have one coming tomorrow as well. Today's piece will be about what the Diamondbacks did, or rather did not do, more so, at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to be taking a look at which Diamondbacks prospects you can expect to see potentially between now and the end of the season. So I'm going to do a write-up where I basically talk about all of the different guys that you might see between now and the end of the season. So
that's exciting.
Good stuff at gophnx.com.
And that's the thing. We're going to focus, I think, on the future guys coming up, because much like Tommy Henry, and you know, obviously we talked a whole bunch about Alec Thomas, we plan to see a steady diet of these guys making their way up from the minors to, you know, maybe be the future superstars of this team. So make sure to get a membership over at gophnx.com if you haven't done so already. Sign up for an annual membership. Get your annual membership. You'll get a free t-shirt over at the phnxlocker.com. You can also get a month-to-month membership where you'll get your first month for just 50 cents. Regardless of your membership option status, you will get members-only discounts over at the phnxlocker.com, as well as members-only access to our Discord. And that's a fun place to be. It's the best place to be an Arizona Diamondbacks fan. Also, if you're watching us right now on the YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Give us a like, a thumbs up, and make sure that you also download us on the audio podcast side. Leave us a 5-star review there if you haven't done so already, and make sure to subscribe. We appreciate you doing so, and we love you for it. Jesse, we do have some spying to do today.
Uh-oh.
By the way,
who are we spying on?
We're spying on our exes. You know what we do. That's how we do around here. It's an old friend alert. And we found out today that the Philadelphia Phillies have announced that they have released shortstop Didi Gregorius, who has been having a rough stretch since returning from injury. His 2022 numbers as a whole aren't really great. Slashing 210, no. 263, 304 with a 567 OPS. I guess there are a lot of Diamondbacks fans that still love Didi and wish we would have never gotten rid of him. Do you think the Diamondbacks should kick the tires on bringing an old friend back?
I don't know. To be frank, at this point in the season, if someone gets released, it's probably for, like, I don't want to say a good reason, but probably for a good reason, yeah, right? I mean, you're not going to release a guy like Didi Gregorius, especially given how much money the Phillies paid him. I mean, he's on a 2-year, $28 million contract.
Yeah, they're going to eat like $10 million.
They're eating a fair, maybe not quite 10, but they're eating a fair amount of money by releasing him. But, you know, if a guy hits 210 with a sub 600 OPS.
I think that's what a lot of people are trying to work towards, Saul, but... I mean, again, with the shortstop situation, the Diamondbacks still now have a lot of depth there. I'm not suggesting it's the greatest thing, but, you know, again, the Diamondbacks being where they're at right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see them give out a couple of guys a try, like a Denelson Lamet or maybe Didi Gregorius. But we've also seen them not really, I guess, commit too strongly to these guys. They give them a chance, see if they can actually do something and help this team win ball games. And if they can't, they kind of move on. Geraldo Perdomo has been doing a much better job at shortstop, I feel.
Yeah. I think the defense has looked better. I tweeted out from my account yesterday just some stuff regarding the Diamondbacks defense this season. And defensive metrics in baseball are very, very bad in general. But there are a couple of guys that the metrics speak pretty clearly on as being like above average or below average defenders this year. Unfortunately, Geraldo Perdomo fits pretty squarely in the below average defender category for this year, according to the numbers. I do think it's looked better lately. I think a lot of that comes from the first couple months of the season where he didn't look really comfortable out there. I think he's ironed out some of those kinks, but still a work in progress for him at shortstop and offensively. We're still kind of waiting to see the bat come around. So,
I'm going to give you one reason why to sign Gregorius.
Okay.
He's one hit away from his 1,000th career hit.
Okay.
Right? We need wins.
Really has. They really released him with 999. Oh, that's cruel. Hits. That's horrible.
Monsters. The Phillies are monsters.
So maybe they bring him in for a day or two just so he gets his 1,000th hit.
Yeah, and we can do some graphics and have a fun time with it, then let him go. Because apparently that's the Milwaukee Brewers released Lamet without him ever even playing a game.
It's pretty weird to trade for a guy
and then
DFA him instantly.
And they said kind of positive things about him when he was part of that package. So obviously you're always going to say positive things about guys you're trading for, right? You want to make it sound like you're doing the right thing, right? But
it's really weird. I could see that if you were taking on like a big contract, you know, as part of the trade, but you weren't planning on actually playing the guy, then it would kind of make sense to, you know, release him or DFA him or whatever. But Denelson Lamet is not in that situation. So it honestly is pretty weird. But
Michael McDermott in the comments said something. Lamet's arm is probably FUBAR. So that's something maybe that came up potentially. I don't know. Mm. I just find it amazing that this guy that had so much talent with the Padres so recently is,
you know, it is weird.
It is now not of value to any team. However, that's kind of how baseball can go sometimes, unfortunately.
Right? Yeah. Jacob Nevin says, I want the D-backs to sign Swanson in the offseason. I mean, it'd be cool, right? I don't know if you're doing that when Jordan Lawler is probably like a couple years away. You're not going to get Dansby Swanson on a 2-year contract. He's going
to
get.
I want it too. I'm with you. but we gave Jesse an assignment, by the way, and it wasn't a writing assignment. This one was a book assignment, but not a book assignment. It was a book report about a movie.
I did not write a book report.
I told you that I wanted a written summary. You guys voted on it. You made Jesse watch the 1985 classic, The Breakfast Club. So I guess I have to ask you, Jesse, did you watch the movie?
I did watch the movie.
Did you watch it late at night?
I watched it between the hours of 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. last night. And I will also say that I watched it on Fubo. That was one of the few ways that I could find to watch it. I got a Fubo free trial, which I think is my 12th Fubo free trial that I've ever had. Fortunately, I have a lot of email addresses, which really pays off
now.
Got
a lot of burner accounts.
Yeah, lots of burner accounts, lots of email addresses. But no, I watched it on Fubo. And even though Fubo is a paid service, I swear I watched just as much Breakfast Club as I did Subway commercials. Like it was very bad. There were so many Subway ads and so many State Farm ads. It was like I would watch one scene of the movie and then it would go to like several ads. It was very frustrating.
That's what you get for getting the free membership, I guess.
Well, it was a free trial. Like it was a paid account. Yeah, I don't know what else they want from me.
You should be bringing your best here. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
I have a friend who gets very frustrated with pilot episodes of a show when they don't like deliver the goods right away, because the point of that episode is to hook you on the show and make you like it, right?
Pilot episodes that are bad. It just doesn't make any sense.
Or something that's like building towards something in the future, but it's kind of boring early on, right? I feel the same way about, you know, free subscription, like especially if you're going to dumb it down in some way or whatever, if it's a trial, it should be the best you have to offer. It should really.
Well, they were trying, like they were going to give me like NBA League Pass for free.
No.
And like I could choose all of the options because it was a free trial account, but no ads while watching The Breakfast Club was not one of the ads.
So I guess my first question then, or my next question should be, is does the movie hold up 37 years later?
It was honestly pretty good. I honestly really enjoyed The Breakfast Club. It was weird that like an hour in, like the kids are all just kind of sitting there still. Like the vast majority of the movie is just like kids like sitting in this classroom talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like there's not like a whole lot of actual action, although there's a little bit more later in the movie. But Brian Johnson is like everything that I want to be in life. So he was undoubtedly my favorite character, which I'm sure just utterly shocks you, Derek.
Oh, man, because that's crazy to me. That is crazy to me. A lot of it is about, you know, kids in high school, I feel like, being stereotyped, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, we're all the same. We all feel the same thing. We all go through the same thing. But yeah, absolutely. That there
Michael
is.
Says you should also have Jesse do a research paper on VHS tapes as the second half of the punishment. This is not a punishment.
Yeah,
this is me becoming more cultured, and you all get to choose how I do it.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
It's
Josh,
dangerous.
Who the hell do you think he related the most to? You know, I don't even need to ask you that question. You already said it. But
I'm guessing that when you recommended this movie, like when you brought up this movie as a possibility, you knew that Brian Johnson was going to be the
I may have had an idea as to who you would gravitate towards and who you might feel a certain way about. Fun fact, this movie actually takes the fictitious day of them being in Saturday school. Takes place on my third birthday, March 24th, 1984.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So you liked it. You enjoyed it.
I liked it.
And I think
Mr. Vernon is the worst.
Mr. Vernon.
I hate that man.
Absolutely.
My hatred
worst.
For that man just kept growing and growing and growing.
Can you describe the ruckus?
Yeah. That was outstanding. Yeah. Brian Johnson had all of the best quotes.
Of course he did. So I guess I have to ask you this question, or we have to figure this out. Which members of the D-backs would qualify for the specific stereotypes, right? So if you were thinking of someone on the Diamondbacks being labeled as the brain, who would you pick? Who would be the brain of the Diamondbacks?
The brain.
This is easy.
This is easy, says Jacob.
Jacob, let's get your two cents.
What
Who's
does Jacob
brain?
Think if he's so confident?
Yeah. It's Zach Gallen, through and through.
Okay.
He's like a major analytics guy.
Yeah,
I mean, he sits down every half inning and looks at the end. Like, he studies like crazy.
Yeah?
He's like the antithesis to Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah. He's a very cerebral, you can just kind of tell talking to Zach Gallen. Like, he's always thinking about like his pitch shapes and just like different adjustments he can make and whatnot. So
his approach on the idea of a perfect game versus a no hitter. Like, I don't know, as a fan, I've never thought of the like obviously, what a big deal it is to get a perfect game versus a no hitter. How often no hitters happen. But I just never, it's a big difference. I never thought pitchers thought that same way too, right? Like I never thought of a pitcher being like, yeah, no hitter's cool.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But a perfect game, I'd fucking literally lose my arm for a perfect game. But yeah, that's that. All right, so we got the brain. I think that's a great choice for the brain. I think Michael McDermott said Jose Herrera, which is another guy that absolutely we've heard about. I mean, obviously, you got the pitchers that want to work with him a lot and consistently talk about how well he knows them and how he knows how well he knows what to call. For the athlete, I'm going Alec Thomas.
You're going Alec Thomas.
I'm going Alec Thomas.
That's probably fair.
Alec Thomas strikes me as the kind of guy that has been the best on his team for every team that he's ever been on. I don't want to say his father, Alan, is quite as bad as, you know, the father was in this movie, but I'll say, like, you know, again, growing up around a clubhouse and everything like that.
Yeah,
like
Alec Thomas, that's a really good call.
He was like born an athlete in a way. Like he was just, you know, what do we say? He was what did LaValle say? He was born in a bat bag or something.
That
like
was
that?
Drew Jones.
Oh, but that I was Drew
it,
Jones. Oh,
but
that's
I think
right.
It applies to Alec Thomas.
It really
too.
Does. Yeah,
I think
it really
I think
does.
It's I think it also works that way.
All right, basket case.
How are we supposed to answer this?
Caleb Smith. Moving on. He heard himself punching something.
Yeah, did you hear
did
about
not, that
while you were
back up everything I've
Disneyland?
Ever said about him? I mean, I'm not trying to label the guy, but he heard himself punching something he shouldn't have been punching. That's what we were told.
Yeah, that is what we were told.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, well, these are both pretty difficult because who's the princess then?
Who's the princess? The princess is Josh Rojas, maybe.
Okay. I want to hear your thought process.
He's an emotional, you know, plays with a lot of emotion.
Okay.
Like, there's just like a lot of depth to his personality.
Very handsome.
Very
also.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strikingly
you know,
handsome.
Prom queen-esque, but like.
All right. And the criminal has to be Madison Bumgarner, right? Madison Bumgarner fits the profile of the criminal 100%.
Oh, 100%.
He definitely owns cut-off leather gloves with no fingers.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Although we were just talking about him saving this like cute little baby rabbit.
But that's
like,
exactly the
ago,
kind of thing
so.
A criminal would do. You know, he would do that while on the run after robbing a bank or something. And oh, I feel man. That his outlaw persona that he himself sticks to would back that up.
Hmm.
All right. Well, did Michael McDermott say Bumgarner? See, we're on the same page. I like that.
He said Bumgarner was the princess.
Oh, the princess.
Bumgarner's the princess.
Well, because of the hand holding. Is that, I think that's all I think of is the hand holding with the umpire. But anyway, I don't know. You guys give us your thoughts and ideas. Go on Twitter. Let us know what you think. If you're in the Discord, drop some information on us, what you think about how we labeled these guys. As members of the Breakfast Club, and I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I genuinely, right. I was not really expecting to. I had very low expectations, but it was honestly very good. What is your favorite part of the Breakfast Club, Derek?
I think the end. I think it has a great ending.
It does have a great ending,
right? Like, and I mean, it's that idea because I felt like only as a kid did you have those days where you became best friends with someone. For like one afternoon that you're probably never gonna talk to again or have that relationship with again. But you just had one day that you remember of being like, oh yeah, me and him, I remember we met up at like the mall.
We were
and
in
hung
detention together.
Yeah, we were in detention together, right.
I loved that. I was not expecting The Breakfast Club to be a very like substantive sort of movie, but the scene with them like sitting in a circle, like, kind of talking about their life stories and like what life was like at home and like why they were there that day. There was actually like, it was like, okay, this is like, I don't know. There were some life lessons to be learned in this conversation. I enjoyed that.
The one thing that John Hughes films do is really, they just summarize what it's like being a kid in that era. And even though it was 37 years ago, 38 years ago when that movie took place, it's amazing how many of those, you know, life lessons, things that happen to people, just learning more about someone and why, like, you know, why they are the way they are still applies to being a high school kid to this day, but
it does.
It doesn't change much. The shit they do changes, I'll tell you that much. They're on their tablets all the time now.
Yeah.
Something you couldn't even imagine in 1984.
That's fair.
Also,
so have you selected the next four movies that our audience members are going to pick from?
We're gonna give that on Sunday.
Your assignment for next week.
Right. So we will get on that, and I will make sure I'm gonna watch it too with you. So that way, because I've watched The Breakfast Club so many times, but I've not watched it recently. I'm not going through all those hoops to sign up for a Fubo account. So I'll just rent it somewhere. I'm sure I can find it, but. Of course, we'll let you guys know, so maybe you can join along too. Grab yourself some OG's gummies and join us. That's always a fun way to watch a movie. You can get OG's gummies at your local dispensary. They have a wonderful variety of flavors. That's what they're all about, is flavoring life. And they have a nice little giveaway that you can enter over at gophnx.com. OG's has free stuff for you. Enter the Flavoring Life sweepstakes. Oh, look at that gigantic picture. Yes.
It's still way too large.
It's still perfect.
There we go.
I still don't know who that woman is, but enter the sweepstakes over at gophnx.com. One lucky winner will receive three bags of OG's gummies, including orange creamsicle and tropical flavors. Those, remember, OG's the number one selling gummy in the state of Arizona. You'll also get an OG's hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. Sign up again at gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes. And check out our friends at OGs online at ogsbrands.com and on Instagram at ogsbrands. That's O-G-E-E-Z brands. And find them near you. Look at that handsome devil over there having a great time. Just living life, Jesse. See, that's what you miss out on by not going to the pool parties. You can also find their products at your local dispensary. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. And that is not the only sweepstakes we need you to enter. We're also giving you a free shot at the Toast of the Month sweepstakes from our friends over at Four Peaks Brewing Company. Go down. We need to get our next winner. So go to gophnx.com. Enter while you're there doing the OG's one. Enter the Toast of the Month sweepstakes. You'll get a $50 Four Peaks gift card, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. Must be 21 years or older. Enjoy that responsibly as well. Four Peaks is incredible. We love Four Peaks. We'll be broadcasting there once a month, so make sure to join us if you can. Their food is incredible. Their variety of beers on tap, even more incredible. Not to mention, they always have special variety of beers that you can only get at their locations. We'll be at the 8th Street Pub, so make sure to join us again if you can. If not, make sure to check out Four Peaks at your local grocery store or your local liquor store, wherever you get your beers.
What did you say?
I said grocery. A personal hero of mine, speaking of heroes, Michael Ian Black, he taught me how to say the right grocery the right way, but that's a whole other thing. You have to listen to, there's a snack podcast I used to do. It gets pretty, there's a whole rabbit hole to go down. I'm not going to send you guys down that. But anyway, again, must be 21 years or older and enjoy responsibly the Four Peaks, no matter where you get it. All right. So, Jesse, looking ahead at the schedule, the Diamondbacks didn't do great on this road trip. Had a chance to sneak that series away from Cleveland. Now they have the Colorado Rockies coming into town, who have been beat up on by the San Diego Padres quite a bit for a three-game set. And then they have four against the Pirates. I do not want, and then three more against Colorado in Colorado. Yeah. I do not want to say the words I'm going to say, but
don't do it.
I'm just going to say it. Fuck it. It should be a pretty easy week. They should do good things. They should do good things over the next week. Am I wrong? Am I asking too much?
No, I mean, yeah, the schedule is pretty favorable here for the next 10 days. And it's not really going to stay that way.
September is
going to be a rough one to finish the season.
It's a death parade to the end of the season after this.
Absolutely a death parade. So, yeah, I mean, this is a stretch the D-backs really need to take advantage of. August 6th, in my mind, Derek, is really the day to look at here. Do you know what happens on August 6th?
What happens on August 6th?
The Zach Gallen t-shirt.
Oh, hey, that's a good thing. I like that Zach Gallen t-shirt. That's a handsome shirt.
It is a very handsome shirt.
Yeah.
So everyone should go to the Saturday game, absolutely, and go get that Zach Gallen t-shirt. But yes, you're right. This is a relatively easy week and a half for the Diamondbacks.
I have been very surprised by the way that they have handled by the popularity of their giveaway items. You know, we talked about the bobbleheads not being around. You can go get it, foco.com. Make sure to do that.
There you go.
But the shirts have been very popular. The Star Wars shirt was extremely popular. And I still believe we have to give one away. Is that right?
Or we have to give that. You say stuff. It like it's an obligation.
I'm like, we still have one to give
darn
away.
Darn it, we have to give that away. Yeah,
so we'll be posting that up this week or next week. We'll get that up. I'll do a retweet thing where we can pick ourselves a winner.
We also have one of the July 4th shirts to give away as well, I believe.
Oh, so that's right.
We've got a little giveaway stash.
Maybe we pair those two together in a package. Ooh. Maybe we'll see what we can have. But let's take a look at the probable pitchers that the Diamondbacks have coming up here against the Rockies. Some favorable matchups here, obviously. Rockies' starting pitching has not been too solid. And Zach Davies is back in the mix for the final game of this series as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Zach Gallen doesn't get to start on his t-shirt day. That's always a magical thing, like, yeah, when those sorts of things happen.
But granted,
with pitchers, it's like pretty unlikely for that sort of thing to happen. Mad Bum will start on Friday. He was originally slated to go on Wednesday, and then the Diamondbacks wound up going to Tommy Henry, of course, instead. So Mad Bum gets pushed back a couple days. He's now on Friday. Has some extra rest, which theoretically should be a help to him. Theoretically on paper, right? This Rockies team is not playing very good baseball. I don't know if you saw the Brandon Drury grand slam.
Shut up. Of course I saw it. It was hard to ignore.
My point is that the Rockies did not do great against the San Diego Padres in that series. And granted, the Padres lineup is officially insane at this point. So
that it's devastating. Is it not devastating to think about playing that team at this point with how truly good they've been already, right? But with the pieces that they added, did you see the picture that they posted of them in the dugout where they said, hang it in the Louvre?
I did not see that.
It made me sick. It made me sick to my stomach.
Who was in this picture?
Everybody was in the picture. Soto and Machado, and I think Josh Bell was in the background. Okay. And like, it was just like the gang picture, you know? It was like, we're here, and you guys all have to fear this. And I mean, what's funny to me is, I mean, I know the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are not like being considered here in this arms race, right?
No,
like,
not really.
We've dropped so far back. But the imminent threat to the Dodgers' stranglehold on the NL West has to make the Dodgers, for the first time in like almost 10 years, finally be shaking in their boots just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Dodgers were not that active at the trade deadline, right? I mean, they got Joey Gallo,
who was struggling, had a very
good season at all. They certainly didn't do anything close to what the Padres did. A few teams got anywhere near that level of activity at the deadline. There's enough distance at this point between the Dodgers and the Padres that the Dodgers still probably feel pretty good about where they are. The Padres are certainly knocking on the door, and this is not like a now through the end of the year thing, right? I mean, Juan Soto is going to be there for two more seasons after this one. Although I did think it was interesting that apparently part of AJ Preller's calculus was that the Padres could acquire Juan Soto and give up a whole bunch of prospects like they did, and then they could trade Juan Soto like next trade deadline or something if they wanted to, and recoup a lot of the prospect value that they got. So I guess it is possible this is more of a rental situation for them, but I don't think that's very likely. I mean, once you get Juan Soto on your team and you're like in the mix to contend, it's pretty hard to let a guy like that go. So,
and he's still under team control for what, like three more seasons, I believe?
I believe it's two more after this one. Two more after this one.
Yeah,
so
it's not even like he was a free agent at the end of the season, which is the wildest part about the Nationals trading him just based on him requesting a trade.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Nationals traded him because the Nationals are going nowhere, right? And so they want to get as much value as they can at a time when they're not contending. But
we're just in this era now where teams that are bad don't want to do anything at all to draw fans. Right? Like, so because Juan Soto would continue to be a superstar draw for the Nationals no matter how bad they are.
That's true.
And now we're moving into this phase where very few baseball teams that are bad want to carry a high-priced superstar just for the purpose of putting him on the marquee and seling tickets, because it doesn't really
work. The Rockies went and got Chris Bryant.
Chris
for some
Bryant
reason.
He's played like 41 games this season.
Yeah, and he hasn't been nearly as good as they were probably hoping. He's had some injury issues. Michael McDermott says Padres will do everything they can to extend him this winter, which is also totally possible.
That would be what you would do. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's a little bonkers because it's like, I mean,
how much money do you have?
Yeah, you'd be looking at $1 billion between Machado, Tatis, and what it would take to sign Juan Soto. So like, I know that front office is willing, or that ownership group is willing to spend, but that would be pretty insane if that happened. But I mean, if you are going out there and trading as much as the Padres did to get him, you're probably at least considering that possibility of trying to sign him long term. Yeah. So we'll see.
And he said ticket sales barely affect the bottom line, for what it's worth. And I get it, especially when you're talking about paying someone like Juan Soto, what they were going to pay him, you know, year after year versus what you're saving and all of that. It just still at times seems like that used to be something that sport teams did, you know, more of across all sports. But now, especially in baseball, we don't see that, you know, that impact of having that superstar player that you can put on, you know, the t-shirts and do all that stuff for.
Sure.
The Diamondbacks, I mean, they still have a couple of guys, Zach Gallen being on a t-shirt, being one of their, you know, big elite players, right?
And right.
Lately, at least, he's looked a little bit more like that elite player. I'm actually going to take the Diamondbacks over the Rockies in game one. They don't have the value listed yet on the DraftKings Sportsbook, but I'm also going to take, as part of my DraftKings pick of the week, I'm going to take the New York Mets over the Atlanta Braves.
You're always betting on New York teams.
I really am. I used to live there.
Fair. I mean,
And also, I'm taking the Seattle Mariners over the Angels. Right now, it's got a really good value at a run line of 1.5 runs. It's plus 120 to take the Mariners. And that the Angels are just, I mean,
could you imagine? Could you imagine for a second? What if the Angels had gotten Juan Soto? Like, imagine the Angels having Ohtani, Trout, and Soto and still winning 75 games. Like, I just think that's
just
hilarious.
Just toiling away in mediocrity as the whole team. Well, it goes to show.
They would make that happen. They could do that. They could do that.
I'm absolutely sure that they would.
But it would be a really stupid move. and they are definitely not just a Juan Soto away from being competitive, that's for sure.
No.
But, again, shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you haven't done so already, sign up for a membership over at a new profile membership, whatever it is, over there at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download it now. Use our promo code of PHNX. Make your first deposit, and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Use that bet wisely. Don't do what I did one time and like bet $10 and have that be your risk-free bet up to $1,000, because I did do that, not remembering that I had my first risk-free bet. But that's promo code PHNX only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Jesse, they also have like some of these parlays. Like they have this one for pitching in a drought right now. Justin Verlander under 2.5 earned runs in his game. Johnny Cueto under 2.5 earned runs in his game. And Carlos Carrasco under 2.5 earned runs. Are you taking
what
that?
What year is it? Justin Verlander, Johnny Cueto, and Carlos Carrasco?
I think that's
2013.
I think that's what they're going for. I think that's what they're going for. They had July ERAs. Verlander 1.01. Cueto had 2.12 ERA, and Carrasco had a 0.90 ERA in the month of July. So, hey, that might be a pretty good bet to take that under 2.5 runs.
I mean, Verlander is clearly still at the top of his game. That guy's going to pitch till he's like 45 or something.
Yeah,
it's
and his
ridiculous.
Arm's going to fall off, and that's why he's going to have to stop pitching, because
something
that's
like
the only
that.
Thing that's going to keep him from pitching.
Right. Johnny Cueto has looked better, though. And Carlos Carrasco has had like, there's been a lot of injury history there that sort of kept him out for a few years, but it's good to see him doing a little bit better now.
Well, Jesse, the big heads are back at foco.com.
Oh, the big heads.
The big heads. They have big head bobbleheads.
Okay.
That are exactly what it sounds like. They have big heads.
Nice.
That's it. That's it. They're pretty great. And my favorite part is one of the ones they have on their ad on their website is Jose Altuve.
Nice.
Just with a gigantic head that's probably about the size of his real head. But don't forget to check out foco.com. Our friends over there are doing collectibles right. You can get all your Arizona Diamondbacks merch over there. Shirts, hats, toys, collectibles, everything for your house. They got it. They got you covered. The City Connect bobbleheads are incredible. So make sure to check those out. They also have some pretty incredible button-up shirts like this job that I got going on from our friends at Roosevelt's. But unfortunately, I don't have any space in my closet, Jesse, for any more button-up shirts.
Shocked.
So I'm not allowed to buy any more of those. But I am going to get down on some of these bobbleheads because they are incredible. So also, again, swimsuits for the summer. I know summer's coming to a wrap. Monsoon season's here. We got storms here in the valley, but whatever you need. I'm sure they have umbrellas for you if you need it. So head over to foco.com or click the link below in the description. For all non-presale items, use promo code PHNX and you'll get 10% off. So again, we got you covered with the collectibles. Jesse, trying to put on a brave face, but it's a sad day. And I'm still trying to get over everything that happened, but it doesn't help we don't have Diamondbacks baseball today to kind of distract us from everything going on. But we will start that series with the Rockies. I'm looking forward to kind of getting past this. So, again, we thank you guys for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This guy over here is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. Go on Twitter and tell us what you think about our Breakfast Club choices and who you would pick for those categories. And also follow all roads, of course, lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again for joining us. On behalf of Jesse and myself, we appreciate you so much taking the time to join us for lunch. And remember, kids, screws fall out. The world is an imperfect place.